Blog Talk Radio.
What's up, world, and welcome to Realty Universal Radio, the fastest hour in radio, no doubt about it. I'm Randy Zachary, and this is a show about real estate, about God, about life, about giving back, about being the change in the world that you'd like to see. I'm privileged to bring to you Natalie Mullinex and Realty Universal, a company dedicated to excellence. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe sellers and buyers should have choices. We have been a pioneer in the menu program system. More on that, of course, a little later. Natalie Mullinex, president and founder of Realty Universal, averaged over $80 million a year in sales. Natalie has been in the top 1% in the country for over 25 years and number one in Hawaii for 2 years prior to stepping back to building Realty Universal. She's an accomplished speaker, writer, consultant, trainer, and, oh, by the way, mother. She travels worldwide, literally, spreading the gospel, if you will, of Realty Universal. And she joins us now. Hey, Natalie.
Hey, Natalie. Randy Zachary here. Natalie Mullinex joining us in just a few. We want to welcome you to Realty Universal Radio. That's one of the dangers, I guess, of a pre-recorded intro like that. But very, very cool. So, yeah, Natalie should be. And in fact, I think she's
hey
on the
there,
line.
Hey there, how are you?
Hi, Natalie. Welcome. Welcome aboard.
Welcome, welcome. How are you? One of those...
Doing well. Doing well. Welcome to
good.
The show. We are live. What's new in your world? A lot of traveling, eh?
Oh, yeah, lots and lots of traveling. So there are all these different seasons, and this time of year, it's all good. I'm over on the East Coast right now, going from warm weather to warm weather with seasonal changes, so it's beautiful. And you're in between in California there, so I guess you're starting to change too, huh?
We're a little in the twilight zone here, a little chilly, a little windy, but it's nice. I enjoy it. I like the cold in terms of at least sleeping at night, but so...
You do, and you're getting ready to head over to Hawaii, aren't you?
Yeah, Tuesday. Tuesday I'll be
good deal.
And we're going to be working on some things, on some cool stuff. Some, of course, a marriage event we're doing in February at Hope Chapel in Kihei. And then also working on Pono Radio, which is a project.
I love it. I love it. It's wonderful. It's
been working on that for a while now, and so we're going
we'll
be tying in with Realty Universal, yeah.
Yeah, and Kind Minded discounts, and just doing some fun stuff. I'll be back over there next month. So, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that'll be fun.
Definitely.
That'll be cool.
Yeah, absolutely. And I heard
second
last
half.
Show was really good. I'm looking forward to the second half. Go ahead.
Yeah, second half of the show is a guy that I've run into through a friend of a friend, and he's his name is Joel Bogus, and he is an author, and also written a book called Finding Your Voice, Sorting Through the Clutter and the to Discover Clarity, Confidence, and Direction. And I was just kind of reading it a little while ago.
Oh, we can all use that, huh?
Oh, yeah. And, I mean, he's got, you name it, he's got it. Bob Berg, all kinds of people giving him,
really?
Writing him recommendations. You know how they write little recommendations
yeah.
at the beginning of the book. And so lots of big hitters that are recommending this book. So, and he's also a host of his own radio show, and so this will be kind of cool, us getting to interview him a little bit. And so looking forward to that in the second
half. And
you're
on the syndicated show today too, I understand, huh?
We're going to be doing that as well. We're recording one of his shows, and then we're going to record an interview with him for the John Maxwell weekly national syndicated Maxwell team show that we do. So it's a good thing I like radio.
Cool.
Today's a busy day in radio.
I was going to say, and you're so good at it, and you never lose your voice. You're so lucky. I guess you know how to train yourself. Do you know how to just, you have those hot teas with lemon all the time, or something you just, you're always covered?
I always practice.
Is that right? Yeah, I remember that. No.
I heard a little bit of an echo again. I'm not sure what that is.
I'm on a landline,
okay.
And I'm on a different one. I'm on the East Coast, so I'm different from the one you heard a couple weeks ago. I don't
okay.
know what that is. I'll have to pull away a little bit. But
yep.
you still hear an echo now, huh?
A little bit, yeah. Yeah, a little bit. So the first half of the show, going to be exciting stuff. Again, very timely, very needed. Right.
Oh boy. Yeah. You know, it's not as bad as it seems worse than it is, and I guess it you know, it's got to be difficult for federal workers not to be getting paychecks, even if they're told they're going to be paid back in time. Well, how do they pay their bills this week, last week, this week, you know, and so on. It's but because we're real estate related, we're going to discuss how it's affecting the real estate market and how it affects you if you're buying or selling a home right now, and just going over that. And it's interesting. Certain states are getting hit worse than others, mainly due to how many federal workers there are in the state, you know, because most federal workers, I heard civilian federal workers were asked to come back in certain areas. But, yeah, I mean, so everybody's seeing this all over the news and getting all the feedback and data, et cetera, and we just wanted to go over some of the real estate data. And, gosh, I don't know how you do it with your voice and your thing. When I got into Maryland, the pollen is so high, the count, so going from Hawaii to Maryland just was like, va-voom, you know, and for 2 days, I couldn't have done the show, done it, but I would have sounded pretty bad, because it was just going on and on, so it's interesting when you think about having to speak and talk and do shows, like how people make sure they're okay, 99% of the time. It takes work.
Able to do it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it seems simple, but it takes work. It does.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really neat. Oh, I can't wait to hear the second half if there's like a blueprint on this. So on real estate right now, of course, this shutdown is definitely going to have more of a long-term effect than a short-term effect, luckily. In the short term right now, the FHA loans, many other loans were going to be effective, but FHA loans now, they've agreed they're going to keep moving forward as far as if you're buying the single-family homes, the condos, et cetera. But if it's multifamily operations or if there's any big approvals, there's not going to be anyone to underwrite them. So no condo projects are going to be approved during the shutdown at all. What's going to happen, though, is a lot of people are laid off that actually do the loans, so that's going to slow the loans down because you have less people working with everything, you know.
Yeah.
So it's going to be, it's definitely going to have its effect, regardless, even if money's funded, you know. Now, if you're in, and I'm sure anybody who's been talking to their loan offices are getting this information, but there was some information put out last week where they were saying that FHA was going to shut down, and it wasn't true. So, and you know, with the media and social media, things get out there and they can spread so quickly, and people that aren't on their computers or aren't paying attention are going to buy into it. So we just want to clear that up. And FHA is definitely, the government insures FHA, they're not, but it's definitely moving forward. It's just going to be slower unless you're a developer, builder, or you're doing multifamilies. Those are not going to be moving forward right now. One that's definitely hit, and it's causing a lot of problems, a lot of people, because of not being able to get 100% financing unless you're VA the last few years, there's some out there. I don't want to say no loans at all, but the majority aren't. Because of that, a lot of people in rural areas are using the USDA loans, and they can even be done, like, you're real familiar, Randy, with Oahu, and towns like Eva Beach and out towards Waipahu may qualify for USDA, and you would think rural means rural. It's going to be in communities where there aren't that many people, but I don't have the numbers in front of me as far as the population numbers, because I know they've changed their maps in the last year, 2 years, as far as the numbers, and they're going to continue to change them, but you'd be surprised how many areas actually still use USDA for loans, and people could get in with 100% financing. Well, if you are doing that right now, there's going to be no new USDA loans right now during the shutdown.
Whoa.
We have an agent. We have some in Hawaii that are being done right now, and they're not going to. They're going to. The they said if the money was earmarked before, some may go through. But there's no new ones right now. No extra funding during the shutdown. So that's totally affected. I'm sure it'll come back later. But you know, people are relying on their lives and things, and it's hopefully the shutdown's not going to last too long. And I don't know if you've seen the numbers. Oh my goodness, the numbers of what this shutdown's costing daily. Is outrageous, know, and I just I don't know. It isn't it crazy though? Don't you think it's kind of like not making a lot of sense?
Yeah, it's I started out maybe being on one side of the fence, and then as you watch both sides act like third graders,
five-year-olds.
Yeah, you tend to go, you know what? These guys all, there needs to be an adult in the room somewhere. There just doesn't seem to be an adult in the room, you know, in Congress or the White House, frankly. Right
I'd
now.
Like them all to go home and start over.
Yeah.
Let's start over. Because, you know what gets me, though, while they're having these shutdowns, nobody there is, they're getting paid. Nothing's stopping.
Oh, yeah.
And it bothers me on the Obamacare, and this is sidestepping because we're supposed to be doing the real estate right now, but on the Obamacare, there's pros, there's pros and cons, like with everything, but they were saying that the staffers in Congress are exempted, like from the having to do Obamacare, so it just amazes me how I don't understand. I'll never understand. I don't care about lobbying. I don't care about this is what people say. This is how the world runs. BS. It just isn't fair. What's good for people, good for the goose, is good for the gander. What's good for Congress and good for people should be good for Congress, right? I don't think there should be. It's just that's really very, very frustrating. So on the real estate end here, don't despair. If you're in to buy a house and you can make other arrangements, I mean, many, many loans are going through. A lot of the lenders have been wonderful. They've really been wonderful in trying to work through these issues to not penalize people. For example, on a lot of loans these days, they make you sign 4506 forms. Are you familiar with that, Randy, 4506?
No.
Okay, so I'm going to say it's actually a form it's a transcript form, and it gives the lender or whomever, you could sign one for me and vice versa, permission to pull your tax returns. So in the old days, when I say old days, when it was like stated income and no income documentation, they really were using those quite a lot because they wanted to make sure that, you were telling them, whoever was buying the house was telling them the true story. Well, now they use 4506 on many loans, even with your, with your tax returns. I guess with the internet and fraud and everything, people can just, make up so much stuff so easily these days. So even standard regular loans where you're doing full income documentation, many times in your package, the lender's asking you to sign a 4506, and it'll be for last year, 2 years, 3 years. It can be whatever periods of time they want, and they can pull that at any time. So if you're telling them, hey, I'm making, six figures, and they find out you're making zero, they can come back on the loan, with you. Will they or do they? I don't know, if they're going to follow through with that, but they can. Well, there's no one to really issue the 4506s right now.
Whoa.
So that's for all kinds of loans, right? All kinds of, not just FHA or government loans. So see how, it really does affect people everywhere. And, I don't know. I guess getting older, it just makes you really frustrated when we see what's going on with this government. And I agree with what you said. You may start on one side and then on both sides, and then you're like, they're all not making sense. But so my hat's off to the lenders right now for going out of their way, because what I'm hearing is that a lot of lenders are going ahead and they're moving forward with loans. Having people sign the 4506s, so yes, they have permission to pull your returns later, but they're at least not holding up the process. Some may have to because they may not be able to get around the policy depending on the lender, but I'm hearing that many, many are, and I thank you guys for that, because this is definitely a time where we all have to work together. And, the stress out there is tremendous, and I've never seen, it really is, because people, they don't know what to expect anymore, and I think we'll, everyone will get through it. And then it's kind of like a test, isn't it? It's a test to see if you can still handle trying to stay calm while everything else around's falling apart. You know, it's definitely
it is. It's crazy. It is. I'm not sure. Like I say, if I usually watch the news shows in the evening, but I can't anymore because I just get so upset. And I'm like, I don't sleep. And then I'm like, okay, you know, I can't do that. I mean, I want to stay in touch with what's going on, but I'll read stuff now. Like in the morning, I'll read news, accounts or something as opposed to watch TV because, there's just, Fox News or MSNBC or CNN, they've got their slant and, they're all trying to basically convince you that, either the Republicans are right or the Democrats are right or, and it's crazy. So
it's a mess, isn't it? It's really a mess. And I think it even behooves us more to not let fear is, it's so easy. Fear destroys us, and we know fear is not from God, right? Although, of course, you have to be careful. Like, you don't go, jump off a bridge. You got to be, within reason. But fears, you got to be careful about fear. And it really does pull in the reins and show us that we need to have faith and try to pull it in and do what we can do. And I can't imagine the shutdown. I mean, I can't imagine it lasting that much longer, but who knows? I mean, what was it, 26 days in the 90s? 21, 26,
They're looking to wrap it around, apparently, now, the debt ceiling debate, and so now...
That's like by the 17th, right? They said, I don't know where the date...
Yeah.
I mean, it's tough. It's really a tough one. But if you're in a transaction, if you're in buying a house or selling a house, I would just try to have tunnel vision right now. Do what you need to do. Pack your bag, pack your things. Stay focused. Do the details, stay in the day-to-day, and not let it wreak havoc. It's definitely a lot of changes. A lot of things are coming up that are affecting everybody. And I got back Wednesday night, and when I was growing up, hay fever never bothered me, and now it's kicking in. I'm just, sidetracking a little here, but it's on the stress factor. Thursday called Kaiser. I have Kaiser in Hawaii and Kaiser in Maryland. And I was going to, but I didn't end up going because I just kind of worked through it the next few days because it was a really strong hay fever. And they used to have on their voicemail, if this is a medical emergency, call 911, right?
Yeah.
And you know what's on there now? It says, if this is a medical emergency or a psychiatric emergency, call 911. Or like if you're having a medical emergency or a psychiatric, call 911. And I'm like, oh, my God, like now that's added to it. Because and they told me before last spring or something that they've never seen so many cases of people coming in for stressed out to the max and mental things and disturbances and all that because it's really taken its toll, and I guess with the social media we're getting more of it, so you have to learn how to pull away more. So we go back to on the real estate end, if you're buying or selling right now, I think it's affecting the confidence level. People are a little bit afraid. They're pulling back a little bit. We're not, it's slowed down a lot. In some areas, they're still getting contract after contract because some people are trying to get their loans done before something, they're afraid something major might happen, right? I think basically it's important to stick with what you're doing. If you're in a USDA, it should be okay once we get through this. You just may have to postpone things for a little bit. On the other end, give empathy to your lenders you're working with because these guys are in a position where, the government workers are not there, right, unless a civilian, and some have been called back. And so everybody's short-staffed, so things are going to be slower, a lot slower going through. But it's going to, it's going to work out. I think the long term, though, we're going to have repercussion because we always do. So it's still happening, but have tunnel vision, move for that. I wanted to mention the states that seem to be, it says the 10 hardest hit states. This is according to WalletHub.com. Are Virginia, Alaska, Alabama, District of Columbia, even though it's not a state, they're treating it as a state. Maine, Maryland, New Mexico, Colorado, Idaho, and Pennsylvania. I think a lot of that, and why Virginia is number one, is you have so many federal workers right there, right outside of D.C. And that's going to be, when you have the federal worker, you know, they're not working. I mean, things aren't being done. The jobs aren't being done. So it's going to affect the rest of the state and rest of the population. And, so it's kind of a... I guess we got to pull back. I'm with you, though. Don't really watch the news. Pull back. I mean, it's kind of like, and it says the three least affected states are Iowa, Indiana, and New York. And you're not even on the list. California's not on the list, so you're lucky, huh?
Yeah, I said, I was doing a little bit of reading, kind of show prepping for this topic, and it said Colorado has, for some reason, been the hardest hit. Which is interesting. And so the good news again is that about 90% of most loans, right, are some in some way backed by the government, right? They're insured or whatever, federally insured. But the bad news is they might not be able to be processed during the shutdown, some of them. Is that kind of
right? And then the thing is that, like the FHA loans are going to keep going. The reason no condo projects are going to be approved and multifamily operations is because those are funded on a year by year basis. So even though FHA might be able to endorse new mortgages, it may not be able to underwrite certain ones, right? Because they have to know that, hey, this is coming in. When you have a shutdown, we know that. I mean, I'm assuming. Maybe I'm wrong, that this is going to get figured out. You know, they're going to, of course, it's going to cost noodles of money, but I can't imagine it going on and on and on forever. Well, when you have to plan on money being funded and it's shut down, how do you know it's going to ever come back, right? So they have to go on that premise. So, yeah, it's funny that you read Colorado because this says Virginia, but every place is all over. But it's,
Virginia was hitting the hardest?
Well, in the top 10, when I was reading the list, Virginia's first, Alaska, Alabama, D.C., which isn't, they're considering it a state just for reporting, Maine, Maryland, New Mexico, Colorado's number 8 here. But I mean, statistics are statistics, so it could be anybody. Yeah. When you figure we have 50 states, and these guys, they're number 8 in the list of 50, so it's pretty hard. It's nice that, I'm surprised California's not on there, but I guess they're having more state problems than federal problems, huh? With the the trash gets picked up, right? It's not like they went bankrupt.
Yeah. don't get me started on California.
I'm sorry, but I know it's just kind of one of those things where it says. Let me say, here it is. I'm seeing this statistic about Boulder County, Colorado. FHA comprises about 20% of the Boulder County firms, but FHA could be okay. So. A lot of this is just on Inman News, a loan officer saying that Boulder County. There's a lot of I think it's the other thing is private mortgage insurance. Okay, it's not eligible. Of course, FHA still has to do the MIP insurance, you know, for loans, and that's why they can get in with 3.5% down. So it's affecting in all different areas, and lots of it's going to be more that it's going to slow things down, you know, and it's affecting the confidence level in people and what we're going to do and what's going to happen. So, but we wanted to mention that for people out there that are hearing stories that FHA is going away. It's not. It's going to be fine. USDA is in a holding pattern. They're not going to fund right now on new loans. But hopefully we're going to, you know, this is going to go away and be worked out. But I don't know. You know, I'm sitting here going, oh, my gosh, maybe I better go back to college and learn way more about this stuff, because it's starting to get where, and it also makes you want to go, I'm getting into politics, I've had enough, you know, I mean, like,
yeah.
I wonder how many politicians literally got in there. I mean, look at Sarah Palin, she got in there in her community because she had had enough, right, and then you get in, and before you know it, you're going more and more and more, and I bet you many, many do, because you get to a point, you go, I've had enough, this is too much. We've all got to get involved, you know, because we can't. But they really need to rewrite a lot of things. So I don't know what's going to happen. But
you
and
should
then
run for president. You could run. For
I can't. I was born in France. You should run, Randy. I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want that job for all the tea in China. I'd rather have a job like Oprah Winfrey because you have a better platform when you can get out there and like tell the world all these things, right? Nobody's gonna. Nobody can do anything to you. But no, I think on the political end, I'd love to learn more about the political science and the, because I mean, we know the Constitution. We've been taught, you know, how it's supposed to work. I don't see a lot of people listening to it these days. But, you know, our founding fathers were so serious in how they set things up. And this is, it's a tough, it's really tough, Randy, because I think the stress is getting to, and me, you know, with what I've been through with my brother, I've been able to see firsthand how hard the stress can get you. And, but the stress is getting everybody. I mean, people are just, you know, I think this is, you know what they're going to look at later? I think with the social networking and all that we do, they're going to be able to study this later and go, whoa, it was too fast, too hard, too quick, you know, like it just kind of in the depth because, and what do they say? Knowledge is power.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And a lot of people aren't learning how this situation, not everybody understands how our government works with the Constitution from ground up and how we're supposed to, why we do this and why we do that and, you know, the checks and balances and everything that are supposed to be there. Not everybody understands it. And I mean, none of us are going to know all of it as well as we could and should and everything. And when you look at what's going on with the news and the media, those are bits and pieces, people's opinions, and it's just, you know, it's slanted, and creating a lot of it's creating
it's
a lot
craziness.
Of problems.
We do always really kind of tie things around again spiritually at some point, and being Christians and realizing that it says in the Bible it's going to get worse in the last here we are.
It's kind of, it is written though, right? You look in there and go, it's right there. Okay, there it is. It's over there. Oops, it's right there. Okay.
You think that would be a real kind of, you know, a real kind of, hey, an evangelistic tool, I guess, if you will, in terms of, you know, people going, you know, it was predicted and look what's happening. And, you know, so it's interesting. It's going to be interesting. It's an exciting time to live. It's scary, but it's an exciting time to live. So I can't wait to kind
amen,
of watch.
Amen. I agree.
Happens.
So don't, definitely. So if you're out there going to buy or sell, though, don't have fear. Just have tunnel vision and start, you know, stay focused.
Well, let's take a break and jump on the other side where we aim to inspire, motivate, and mobilize you to really be the change in the world that you seek. And Joel is going to join us, Finding Your Voice Radio, the book, and he's also a host of that show as well. Going to be exciting stuff. I'm looking forward to it. So let's take a break, and we'll be back on the other side on Realty Universal Radio.
Real estate is still a solid investment to invest in if you are in for the long haul. It can also be one of the best investments of your capital if handled correctly. In the United States, we are fortunate to have the tax write-offs that we take for granted while owning property. To obtain the best value for your real estate, there needs to be a market of both buyers and sellers, as well as a means of bringing the two together. Now more than ever, due to the recent loan crisis, even with bringing buyers and sellers together, there needs to be a way to make the financing work if a loan is needed. There are still many options available, and we can help. Whether you're a buyer, seller, going through a short sale, investing at the top or bottom, we have trained Realty Universal members in each state and affiliates who can customize your process the way. We're excited to be able to continue to bring to the world stage a company as dedicated to universal excellence as Realty Universal, Inc. On the surface, our company has been initiating a revolution in the real estate world since 1996. We started offering our menu programs when it was not the standard way of doing business. Now it is so much more understood and commonplace, although we are still ahead of the rest due to experience within the systems. In today's economy, our menu programs make it possible for buyers and sellers to still have a win-win situation. The best situation in life is when everyone wins. Everyone must give in to assist in the outcome, and what happens is very positive experience. Realty Universal is a revolution founded on a very simple principle. We believe that sellers and buyers should have choices. As obvious as this seems, traditional real estate has never been structured in such a way as to allow the multitude of choices sellers and buyers truly deserve. After years of perfecting and receiving feedback on our programs, we have developed real estate menu systems that are used by buyers, sellers, and agents and brokers who are part of our Realty Universal network, which is growing by leaps and bounds.
It's your Minute with Maxwell. Here's author, speaker, and mentor to millions, your friend, John Maxwell.
How do I get off of the I think I'll do it to the do it stage? You see, many people, their life is something like this. Ready, aim, 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 aim. They never fire. They never shoot. They never execute. Now, let me just also say there are some people that's like ready, fire, aim. And you know, they don't execute either. They just shoot somebody accidentally. Execute means that there's a ready, preparation, aim, get your target, but then you shoot. The greatest gap in the world is the gap between knowing and doing.
Thanks, John. We trust we added value today. For the video version of The Minute with Maxwell, go to johnmaxwellteam.com.
Yeah, buddy. John Maxwell, love that guy. New book coming out, I believe, tomorrow. He's got a webcast. And go to johnmaxwell.com for all that information. On the line with us, Joe Bogus. He's Finding Your Voice Radio. He's got the book, Finding Your Voice, Sort Through the Clutter and Discover Clarity, Confidence, and Direction. And, dude, I've been reading this book, and it's amazing. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you, Randy. It is a pleasure to be on with you and with Natalie. So, delighted.
Thank you for coming on.
Yeah. Hey, so Joel, talk a little bit about kind of your background. What brought you to where you are now? What kind of motivated you to do what you do? You know, you and I are old, kind of, well, not old, but seasoned. There we go. Seasoned radio dogs. And we both really have a kind of a passion and desire to see radio be used to help people, and in your case, find their voice. And talk about your journey a little bit so people can get a little sense of where you've come from.
Sure, absolutely. You know, Randy, thanks for asking, and thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk about this. Let me just kind of back up a little bit, and I'll kind of weave that into the story, if you don't mind. When we talk about finding your voice, Randy, we're not talking about the voice that comes out of your mouth. We're talking about the voice that comes out of your heart. And when I first, and when I sat down and first decided to write the Finding Your Voice book, I actually looked up the word voice in the dictionary, and one of the meanings that it gave was a
muted.
Also the message in my heart, and that was that voice is to give full expression to. And, you know, after taking this journey with people from the East Coast to the West Coast, from the high school student to the six-figure earner, if there's one thing that I've learned is that people's emotional and spiritual needs run a lot deeper than simply navigating life's changes and challenges. And I guess I've also learned that people have a hunger within them, a hunger to fully express who they are, what excites them, and what they stand for. And when they find their voice, they are empowered to take their work, their home, and their family life in a direction that suits them the best. And an observation that I made in my own life's journey is that your past leaves clues. And this is the answer to the question. And as far back as I can remember, there has always been a pull in my spirit, an inner pull to work one-on-one with people and to help them to overcome. And it took me a while. I had to search through my own clues and sort through my own clutter to really understand how could I deliver that to people with excellence, and how could I make a difference in their life in a way that actually made a difference in mine. And this finding your voice just seemed like the perfect fit.
Wow. And again, if you're listening live right now, we're a little technical difficulty of some kind. For some reason, we've got a little bit of an echo going. So very, very cool. And again, as I'm reading through your book and seeing, you know, your process, I guess is the word I'm looking for. You can really, in the short time we have. Talk about what it means to find someone to find their voice. You mentioned inner voice. So talk about that process a little bit. Maybe some ideas on how folks can find their voice.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, once again, a voice is all about the voice that's in your heart and the voice that God put there. And during my teenage years, Randy and Natalie, I was a karate instructor, and then as a college student, a swim teacher, and as an adult, a personal fitness trainer. And on the surface, while that might sound like a bunch of unrelated physical activities and exercises, once I learned to look beyond the mechanics of punching, of kicking, of spinning, even dog paddling, and to look towards something that had more significance and something that had more substance, that's when I was really able to start to understand the whole concept of finding your voice. And you see, the big aha for me, Randy and Natalie, wasn't that I was good at teaching people those basic exercises and those basic movements. The big aha for me was that I was drawn to help people, to help them take on challenges and to see their innate value and their inner strength. And even after graduate school, when you think I'd know better, you know, I would still look for ways to come alongside people and bring out their best, even if it had nothing to do with my role or my occupation. I just couldn't help myself. So you see, your past leaves clues all along the way. And as I work with people and help them sort through their own life experiences, I encourage them to explore through their own past and to look at the things, to look beyond, rather, the mechanics of simply what they were doing, and to look more at something with a lot more substance, like look at the value that they were providing and the difference that they were making. The difference that I was making in the lives of the kids, the adults, the teenagers that I was working with went far beyond just the simple activity of those things that I talked about.
Wow. So the yearning to really you know, make a difference, to add value to people. I know Robert McGee wrote the great book, Search for Significance. I think we all have that. And radio is an amazing, amazing tool. So talk a little bit more about the book. Talk about, again, give us, I guess, an overview, if you would, of the book.
Sure. The Finding Your Voice book, I wrote it so it wouldn't read as a rule book. But so it would read as a guidebook. And one of the reasons that I did this is because one of the things that I found is that a lot of times people get wrapped up in the process and they look for steps, step one, step two, step three, step four, of how they can, you know, develop clarity, develop confidence, how they can find their voice, find their purpose, find their mission, whatever word you want to use here. And, you know, detailed step-by-step instructions might be a good idea if you're assembling a model or maybe putting together a jet aircraft. But when we talk about something that is as rich and diverse as the human experience, those detailed step-by-step plans don't always work. In fact, they hardly ever do. And so what I've learned is that there's no reason to try to follow those, to try to apply those cookie-cutter situations to people that come from different backgrounds and different experiences, because we're not cookies. And people seem to resonate a lot with that idea, that they can have the ability to explore, to be themselves, and to do things that really make them come to life and still do something that is meaningful, worthwhile, and that makes a significant difference in their life and in the lives of others.
Mm. You know, chapter five, you talk about what's stealing your voice. I think you and I talked about this a week ago or so, some of my journey. But there are things that do steal our voice. Talk about that a little bit. What are some things that do that?
Yeah, that's a great question. You know, a lot of times people's expectations of other people can really do a number on a person's voice. And in the book, I talk about one of my favorite movies. Rudy is the name of the movie. A lot of people have seen that movie. Yeah, you've seen that movie too. I can tell by your response.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Well, there is a pivotal scene in that movie when Rudy, and Sean Astin is the actor, Rudy's sitting down with his dad, and his dad, Ned Beatty is the actor, is explaining to Rudy that, you know, his dream of playing Notre Dame football and attending school there is just simply beyond the reach of that simple family, Rudy's simple family. And the dad goes on to talk to him about, well, I work in the oil refinery. My dad worked in the oil refinery. Your older brother works in the oil refinery. Why don't you just give up this dream of playing football and aspiring to greater heights and just kind of pick up your hard hat and punch the time clock and get in line, fall in place.
Yeah.
And right. And that created a situation where Rudy could either accept that handed down rule or belief and taken his place, or he could have rearranged his rules and beliefs to support his dream. And you've seen the movie.
Yeah.
And he rearranged his beliefs, he rearranged his dreams to support his own dream for playing football, for attending school there, and for going on to what no one would deny is an unbelievable successful career. Currently he's a motivational speaker, motivating people to do what he did, to dispel those limiting beliefs or those handed down rules that people may have received from well-meaning people too. So,
yeah.
You know, family.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Family, authority figures,
yep.
Sometimes pastors, sometimes our teachers. You know, what's funny is if you'll want to watch that movie again now because we're talking about it, but
yeah.
There's also a scene in that movie when I think it's the middle of the night and Rudy goes and visits the campus and this priest comes out to talk to him. And the priest is under the impression that Rudy – his real intention is to go into the priesthood instead of going to Notre Dame football. But once they finally get that squared around, even the priest, this is a man of the cloth, even the priest says with his hand on his shoulder, you know, Rudy, this school is not for everyone.
Mm.
Not everyone can attend this school. So a belief in a rule that even the priest...
That's a shame.
It is. Even a belief in a rule that the priest accepted as fact, he was trying to pass that on. And once again, you know the outcome. Rudy said, okay, thank you.
Yeah.
I'm going to choose not to incorporate that into my life. And so what's stealing your voice? People's handed down beliefs, rules, and expectations. And the thing is oftentimes they're disguised as protection that people are trying to offer you.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Like you say,
well-meaning.
Folks.
You bet.
But doing that kind of harm. And then, of course, not only family of origin stuff, but then as we grow up, right, and we look around us, we see... You know, again, wow, I don't measure up, and I'll never be so-and-so, and those kinds of, like you say, self-limiting beliefs begin to really take root and sort of reinforce maybe some of our family of origin broken places. This gets pretty deep, man.
Well,
Well, I write about another story in there that tells the story of Dolly Parton, and she, that name is a household name. And just a little bit of background, you know, Dolly was born in a very small, very poor town in Tennessee, and she actually had 12 brothers and sisters. I don't know if you knew that, and they and they lived in the backwoods in Tennessee in a one-room cabin.
Wow.
And she made it through high school, and she had a very small graduating high school class, Sevier High School, and I think there was about 15, 16 people that graduated. And everyone, since it was such a small graduation, got to announce their graduation plans on the stage. And, you know, some people said, well, I'm moving to such and such town and going to start a family, or, you know, I'm getting married, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that. And Dolly very confidently took the stage and said, I'm going to Nashville, and I'm going to become a country and western singer. Here's what's sad. The room erupted, not in applause, but in laughter. And she was laughed off the stage at her own graduation because she was expressing her rules, her beliefs. You see, a lot of people in that small town bought into the fact that, you know, success at that level doesn't come from this small town. We're good folk. We're God-fearing folk, but, you know, we're po. We're po,
yeah.
And we're proud.
Yeah.
It's a shame. It's ridiculous. It happens all the time, though.
It really does. And once again, just like Rudy, Dolly rearranged her beliefs and her rules. And she now has, I don't know how many gold records, and off the top of my head.
Yeah.
But she has sold millions and millions of albums and books and merchandise. And what's cool about Dolly is she actually went back to that town that originally left her out of town, and she opened a place called Dollywood. And Dollywood employs more people in that town and contributes more in their tax revenue than I believe it's all the other businesses put together.
Wow.
It's some astronomical number like that. I may not be exactly I may not know exactly what the figures are, but it's an astronomical number.
Great testament.
Wow. That's amazing. I, like I say, you're listening live. We've got a bit of an echo thing going, so we're trying to minimize that as Joel shares his story. Another chapter you talk about what excites you, and I love that piece because that's where it kind of ties into. You know, our past leaves clues. And what is that thing, right? There's a thing that always comes up. It seems to always come up. You may have forgotten it. And what is that kind of thing that you get excited about? Talk about the role of what excites you in terms of finding your voice.
You bet. Well, I share a client story in the book. And this lady is a mother of two. She has two grown daughters, and in the beginning of our journey together, I can almost hear her voice. She would say something along the lines of, you know, Joel, I'm not a doctor, I'm not a teacher, I'm not a lawyer. I really don't have anything of value to offer. But during our time together, she noticed two patterns. And number one, she noticed that people, particularly moms, were coming to her over and over again with their questions about relationships and finances. And the second pattern that she noticed is when those moms came to her with those challenges, questions, she actually came to life, sharing her wisdom, her knowledge, her insight. And for a long time, while she didn't see that she was doing anything special, she started to realize that, oh my gosh, this is good. I mean, these people, because they haven't experienced it themselves, they don't know these things yet. And that's where she found what really turned her on. But you see, the thing is, Randy and Natalie, it came so natural to Kim that she just didn't recognize it as being anything worth having. And since she didn't recognize it, then she didn't assign value to it. But since that time, she has stepped away from a toxic work environment, an environment that was stripping her of her soul and forcing her to work against her own grain. And she has started stepping toward a professional opportunity that celebrates the gifts within her and sings along with the voice that is in her. So it is exciting. She is alive and doing what is just a part of her.
Wow.
It's like what I call it. She's doing what she can't not do.
I love that.
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. Indeed.
I can't not do. What is that thing? John Eldridge talks about, that thing that whispers to you early in the morning, lost part of your heart, if you will. I know you've talked about how your voice really is that part of your heart that needs to be expressed, wants to be expressed.
Well, not only that, but I think we as believers have a responsibility to express it. I think that it was put there, I think, frankly, God put it there for a reason, and with that comes a responsibility. But I also think that we have the free will to express or not express. And God's going to love us either way. But I think that for some of us that are hungry to give that full expression to our voice, then it's available. And when you use a collection of good ideas, good tips, good tools, good strategies, kind of what I share here in the Finding Your Voice book, then you can get a hold of it, like with two handles. And then you can use it to make a difference, not just in your life, but also in the lives of other people.
Yeah. That's powerful. I'm sorry, I'm really distracted with our echo problems. It's a shame. Good news is everything you're saying is not echoing and very clear, so hopefully in the archived edition here we'll be able to edit out the echo, but so we've got about five minutes left, and I really just what I'd love you to do, because I know people are listening, and when you talk about finding your voice, there are people that may feel this emotion because you're speaking to a deep place in them, but they don't even know how to begin. Could you talk to somebody like that who might be listening and,
you bet,
and want to find their voice, and what would be kind of a couple of steps to take?
Yeah, sure. I'd absolutely be happy to. You know, I'm not much of a cook, Randy and Natalie, but I think we've all watched A Creative Cook in the kitchen. You know how it goes. A dash of this, a pinch of something else, and the next thing you know, you're biting into a delicious concoction that no recipe exists for it.
Yeah.
Well, the same approach that can work wonders in the kitchen can also work wonders in your life. But unfortunately, instead of experimenting and kind of taste testing along the way, most people approach every decision as if life and death hangs in the balance. You know, one wrong choice and bam, it's over. And that's really not how life is.
Yeah.
You know, my friend Larry Winget puts it this way. He says, make a decision and move on it. If you make a wrong decision, you're going to figure it out pretty quickly, and then you can readjust your plans.
Yeah.
And if your decision is the right one, well, that will be evident pretty quickly as well.
Yeah.
So
what's
better?
That's good.
Wondering and waiting, taking action. You know, it's definitely your choice. And giving yourself the flexibility and also the freedom to kind of taste test your way and to figure out what's good and what works for you.
I like that.
And what's not. Because life is a journey. Life is to be experienced. But boy, aren't we raised that way, Randy and Natalie?
Yeah.
Aren't we raised as like, no, you've got to know one thing. Decide.
No, I agree.
Yeah, I mean we're raised that way. Well, many people, and we're conditioned that way. And there comes a point in people's lives where they're at a corner, they're at a crossroad. You know, maybe they just lost a job. Maybe they lost a spouse. Maybe they're empty nesters for the first time. There comes a turning point in a person's life when they have to reevaluate things and ask themselves, gosh, what am I all about? What's the voice within me? And here's what I want to leave your listeners with today, Randy. It's not a destination. It's a journey. You know, finding your voice, there's no finish line or grading system attached to it. There's no finish line or grading system. It's a process. And when folks really get that concept, and then they understand, it's like, gosh, you know what? I'm not going to have this all figured out tomorrow, but I'm going to be a better version of myself. And I'm going to know more about why I was created, why I'm here, and the value that I'm here to offer.
Wow. Wow. Powerful stuff. Great book. Oh, my goodness. Finding your voice. Sort through the clutter and discover clarity, confidence, and connection. I've read about half of it already, and it's...
Wow,
really good stuff, man. It's,
thanks for coming on. I kept getting bleeped out because of the muting. It's echoing.
Yeah.
We didn't have that
usually.
We're just going to have to find out why, yeah.
This is kind of weird, so we're going to cut it a little short today. But, Joel, it's been awesome. And, again, FYZRadio.com, correct?
Absolutely. In fact, you know, even better, you can go there. But FYVBook.com is the actual book website. You can see what all the other people are buzzing about. The numbers are going absolutely crazy on Amazon. I mean, it's totally a God thing. I can see that, and I completely recognize that, and I'm just thrilled that people are already, making a dash to pick up that book and to get clarity, confidence, and direction in their own life.
Wow.
That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Very cool. FYVBook.com is the website. Get there. Get it. And Joel, thanks again, man. Thank you so much.
Absolutely. It was a
thanks
delight.
Thanks for coming on. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Natalie. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Joel.
All right, everyone out there,
I wish you peace.
Yeah. We'll figure out what it was.
Thank you for joining us on Realty Universal Radio. Our hope is that you are enlightened, encouraged, and mobilized to be an agent of change. Realty Universal is on Facebook. Join us there. Follow us also on Twitter at Realty Universal. And for more information, you can go to RealtyUniversal.com. Make it a great day.